Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, and this morning we have the pleasure of welcoming Father Raju Thattankara, the Vicar for Priests of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Good morning, Father Raju. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. I'm good. Thank you.
We are so pleased that you are with us. Bishop Aviles, such a hectic schedule he has, and you've taken the time to come and substitute for him today on Our Shepherd's View. We have a very beautiful gospel reading, which you will share with us now.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands. The one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Such a beautiful gospel. Of course, they're all beautiful, but this one, so many things to consider after hearing this beautiful gospel, Father.
Yes, as you say, and it's a beautiful, as you said, it's a beautiful gospel, and it is something very much we can pray about and meditate upon and gain so much of peace in our hearts.
We see a lot of things sort of setting the stage for the passion that Jesus will go through, and the fact that he was having an exchange with a woman, and also the way the disciples reacted too. They were surprised to see him in conversation with a woman, and all the things that he, again, put in motion just with this very simple act of coming to the well and having this particular interaction with her.
Yes, it's correct.
And so with that in mind, we move forward through the season of Lent. And what does this gospel offer us, Father, in terms of how we continue to move toward Good Friday and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus?
So as I reflect on this gospel, Jesse, it is noon in Sichar. The sun is burning.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is tired, just like all of us.
We can relate to that.
He sits by the well, not in a temple, not on a throne, but at an ordinary well, waiting. And a broken woman comes. Now look at this, Jesse. She does not come in the cool of the morning with the others. She comes at noon, alone, maybe ashamed, maybe tired of whispers, maybe tired of herself. She carries a water jar. But she is really carrying years of disappointments, mistakes, and thirst. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." How beautiful, Jesse, is this God of ours. He does not begin with a lecture. He begins with a request. He makes himself vulnerable. He lets her know, "You matter. You are important. I need you." What a beautiful sentence, word from our Master. Then he speaks of living water. Water that does not just touch the lips, but heals the heart. Whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. So, brothers and sisters, every one of us is thirsty. We thirst for love that lasts, for peace that does not disappear, for forgiveness that truly sets us free. We try so many wells, success, relationships, possessions, distractions, but we keep coming back empty. Only Christ can reach into the deepest part of the heart and say, I know everything about you, and I still choose you. When she realizes who he is, she leaves her water jar behind. The very reason she came no longer matters. She runs back to the town, the same town she once avoided, and becomes a missionary. One encounter with Jesus turned shame into courage, isolation into mission, thirst into a spring of joy. What a beautiful story, Jesse. This Lent, Jesus is sitting at the well of your heart. He knows your story. Don't be afraid. He knows your wounds, and he is not afraid of them. Let him speak to your thirst. Allow him to speak. Let him fill what no one else can fill. And then, like that woman, leave your jar behind and go tell the world what he has done for you. That's what, Jesse, I will reflect upon this particular gospel.
Such a beautiful reflection, Father. Thank you for that. And I think there are so many things that are in your reflection that we can all relate to because we're all on different points in our journey. I think something that you said too, freeing ourselves from distraction, freeing ourselves from being so easily led off the track, whether it's our attention in conversation or whether we just feel like we constantly have to be all over the road, as it were, instead of being centered in God. And I love the imagery, too, that you mentioned how she chose to come to the well in the middle of the day when it was quite hot, but still facing her situation, being honest with herself. Jesus gave her the opportunity to say, despite everything that is going on in your life, I still love you. And you said so beautifully, I still choose you, which is such a beautiful and comforting thought during the season of Lent and any time. But I think that shows us that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, Jesus is always ready to reach out to us.
That is very true, Jesse. And most of the times we avoid. We are called to be saints. Nobody is a saint. We try our best. We try our best to live a holy life. We are all sinners, but God is merciful. He can touch us. He can take care of us. Don't avoid Jesus.
And I think a lot of times too, I think in our daily lives, we tend to not really manage our expectations well. Sometimes we measure things based on our experiences with other people instead of saying, God will rise above all of that and is so capable of reaching out, as you said, through any situation. And we limit ourselves sometimes by our view of think, well, I've done this and there's no way it can be forgiven, or I've done this and I'm ashamed of this. But a lot of times we don't look beyond the fact that he sees us as we truly are. And that kind of love is something that all of us aspire to be a part of and to give to others. But sometimes we have to kind of get out of our own situation to be able to see clearly. This gospel points us in that direction.
Yes, Jesse, I agree with that. And one last thing I would say is, in Jesus' book, we all are included. Nobody is eliminated.
Right.
That's why we are children of God.
Such a beautiful thought for our gospel today on this third week of Lent. And in our next segment, we are going to give you an opportunity to hear Bishop Mario Alberto Avilés speak to a consecrated layperson as he will share some Lenten reflections as well. As Our Shepherd's View continues, we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Father Raju, as well as an opportunity to hear our bishop give us a Lenten reflection. This is part of his Lenten reflection at the foot of the cross, which you can find on diocesecc.org/Lent. And now we will hear Bishop Mario discuss some very interesting points and have a very beautiful conversation with a consecrated layperson.
Hello and welcome to At the Foot of the Cross. On this, the third week in the Holy Lent of season, and we have the opportunity to help you in your journey and through this Lenten season towards the big celebration or great celebration of Easter, and also in your journey towards heaven that we all, you know, getting there. Today with me is Eduardo, that is it's a lay person, consecrated lay person, that it's going to share with us his journey this Lent. Thank you, Eduardo, for being here with us. And Today, we are reflecting on the gospel that is presented to us in the liturgy. And just to give you a context on this gospel, brief context, this encounter of our Lord and this Samaritan woman, comes as an ordinary event, but with a lot of significance. First of all, because Samaritans were not, considered good people. They were considered sinners, in simple words, in the times, in the society, in the structure of the people of Israel. And also because of the structure, the mentality, the culture, for a single man to talk to a woman on its own, it was not well seen. It was nothing, something that it was not permitted. So this happened, Jesus is there by the well, and the Samaritan woman comes looking for water because she was thirsty and she needed that water to take it home. And it starts with this dialogue with the Lord. And basically the Lord tells her, if you take of this water from this well, you will be thirst again and you will have to come back for this water. But the water that I can give you, it's going to satisfy your thirst forever. So we're going to reflect about this. So Eduardo, what can you tell us from your perspective as a lay person, consecrated person, that lives in this world and faces, the situation of this world, about this thirst that is talked about in the gospel?
So one thing that comes to mind is my personal call to follow Jesus, which came from a moment of thirst in a certain way, a moment of desolation, one can say. God encounters us also through these desolations. It was a moment of great sadness after having served at a community service project in the Philippines that I went to do a mission work. And I went to the hut of a woman that was paralyzed, and after having helped clean her house, her little house, I felt a big sadness in my heart because what else could I do for this woman? I felt that it was not enough. So that sadness, that desolation, or that thirst brought me to prayer, to go and pray in the church and ask Jesus, what did he want from me? What could I do in order to help this woman? And what I felt in my heart is that Jesus was telling me, follow me, and I will take care of her. And I think the real consoler, the real helper at the end for everybody is Jesus, and we cannot substitute that, so.
True, thank you for sharing that, Eduardo. And I think we all face situations in life when we feel thirsty, right? Especially the world we live in, and I insist, a lot on this point because the world speaks very loud, and sometimes the world has situations to offer us to satisfy our thirst, but in an immediate way, right? So if we have, if we are thirsty for family, for love, for, you know, good relationship and so forth, many things, the world tries to offer us to satisfy our thirst immediately. But guess what? You know, we will have thirst again. You know, we'll be thirsty again if we just go for the immediate things. So we need to listen to that dialogue of the Lord with the Samaritan woman and saying, the Lord said, I'll give you this water that will satisfy your thirst forever. You know, so we need to look for that water that comes from the living bread that is Jesus Christ, that can provide for us the grace to keep moving forward. So when we face situations in our lives, that we all do, you know, difficulties, infirmities, marriage problems, problems with the kids, with our jobs and all that, we need to look for that water that will satisfy our thirst, but not just immediately, but something that will last forever. And this Lenten season, it's a good opportunity for us to think and reflect on that. You know, that's why the church has given us these 40 days, you know, to be able to, you know, think about this and this gospel that help us to reflect on that. So finally, Eduardo, we're on the third week of Lent, so we have far behind, you know, when we begin with Ash Wednesday. And now we're getting closer to the end of Lent. And so on Ash Wednesday, we have the resolution of giving up something for Lent. You know? And so what has been your experience, or what can you share on this, you know, giving up something that we started on Ash Wednesday and we resolved to keep throughout Lent?
So just before Lent, at our community, we had our monthly retreat, and in that context, we tried to do what was called the fraternal correction, a moment where my brothers in the community share with each other what each one needs to improve on. And I thought this would be a real call to giving up something out of charity, the type of sacrifice that the Lord prefers. I prefer mercy, not sacrifice, he says. And my brothers told me, and they were aware of something that I was struggling with, which is my internet usage, social media, chess online. And they told me I should make an effort to reduce that, to be more present in the communities for them, for the larger community of the parish that we serve, but also for my prayer life and for my reading. And I knew I had acquired a habit over the time, and I knew I needed the help of my brothers to overcome this. And that was a beautiful opportunity also to share this desire to give up social media and with the others, and the others to help me by sharing my usage, my daily usage, with one of them so that I can be accountable.
Good. So we have to remember what is it that we decided to give up for Lent, and see if we have kept that that resolution going, because it's going to help us physically but also spiritually to see how strong we are, you know, to overcome the difficulties in life. Well, thank you very much for listening to us, for following us in this, our third reflection during the Lenten season. Eduardo, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much.
God bless. Bishop.
We thank Bishop Mario and Eduardo for their beautiful words and their exchange. And of course, we thank you, Father Raju, for being a part of our program again today. We express our gratitude for you, and we thank you for your time today as well. If you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing.
God, our loving Father, we stand before your presence. You know everything about us. Still, you chose us. We thank you for all the blessings we receive every day of our lives. Continue to walk with us, Lord, so that we can better our lives, become holier, and cherish eternal happiness when our time comes. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.